I think that it's hard in the depths of the recession to sort of see beyond that and think that, gee, do we really need to be thinking about more development? I think at that time, the sentiment was we have too much development and doesn't seem like it's doing that well. And so it was harder for people maybe to think a little bit longer term. And, you know, to be fair, I think it's understandable. We've been through a very difficult recession and they look down the street and they say, gee, there's a foreclosure on my block. That's certainly not helping the value of my house. You know, do I want to contribute to that? Well, of course I don't. I think maybe there's not an understanding that the projects of this scale, by the time they come out of the ground, we'll be looking back at that as a bad memory. You know, if you want to enjoy the shade of an oak tree, when's the best time to plant one? And the best time was 20 years ago. The second best time, if you want to enjoy that shade, is today. Now that maybe the economy is improving a little bit better and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel and think, you know, maybe we do need to be thinking about where we'll grow in the future.
But you also have, as you know, Greg, these new population projections showing major gains over the next 40 years or so. But with so much housing stock still sitting vacant and thousands of units already approved but not yet built, isn't there the danger that will approve these huge 5,000-unit developments, and those houses will sit empty collecting mold until the population eventually grows?
That's a great question, and there's two important perspectives on that. One is that if you really take a look at how much inventory is out there, some of that inventory, honestly, may be things that shouldn't have been built in the first place. They were there because capital was available and it was easy to get funding for things. But if you look at how much supply is out there and how much we're supposed to be growing, really the overhang is about 2 to 3 years of supply. Now, once you get through the planning process for projects on the scale of a Ribolt or Innovation Way East, those take at least 2 to 3 years to get going. So now really is a great time to be doing that planning. All anyone is talking about relative to those projects right now is to do the planning to make sure we're ready. And in that time frame, we will need those. The second consideration is, from my perspective, these are pretty well-planned projects. And some of the projects that are out there that represent some of that overhang, I think I would sort of make them akin to Hummers. And it's sort of like we have some people coming along who are building what they believe are Prius. And what we're saying is, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to allow you to plan for those new Prius until you get all those Hummers off the lot. And there may be some of those Hummers that nobody wants. And so given that it's a 2 to 3 year supply, given that some of what was built really doesn't meet the direction that the market is going, it makes total sense to be planning for these developments.
You generally, I think we can say, support these kind of developments as a type of smart growth. Others, though, say it's wiser long term to develop existing core areas like downtown areas. What's your response to the arguments that we should first focus our efforts on those type of areas that already exist as cores?
Well, I agree with continuing to focus on our existing core areas, and there is a lot of potential there, and we should absolutely do that. I think when you look at the reality of the capacity of those areas and you look at how much growth is being forecast, it's not going to be sufficient to do that. There's not sufficient land capacity. I don't think some of the people who live in some of the other core areas would want us to develop at the kinds of intensities that would be required to meet all of the future growth. And the answer is both. It's not either or. The answer is, yes, we should focus on those existing areas. We should enhance them, protect them, make them increasingly competitive, think about infill development. But we're also going to need to think about some of these new development areas as well, based on the growth that we're anticipating.
Well, you know, what many experts cite as an advantage to developing in the existing core areas is that you already have a transportation infrastructure in place, which would all have to be built from scratch in a new development, especially if the developers want to make the place conducive to alternative modes of transportation, a public transit and bicycling and so on, as well as the automobile. What's your response?
Well, I think you're right. We do want to capitalize on our existing investments in transportation. I would argue relative to Innovation Way that with the 528 corridor, you have an underutilized corridor already. If you look at the traffic and the capacity that 528 could carry, it's under capacity. It has opportunities for growth. If you look at the I-4 corridor, and don't look at it, drive on it. Drive on it at rush hour and tell me how much more capacity you think is there. I would argue that that capacity is not there. I think it's terrific that we're looks like we're moving forward with SunRail. We need to think about a lot more in the way of transit all over the region. Innovation Way is only 5 miles from the airport. Locally, it's already a key transportation hub that brings visitors here and provides opportunities for people like me who consult all over the country to come and go. I think sometimes there's an assumption that there's more capacity remaining in some of our existing areas than there really is.